I must confess that I did not prepare a patriotic sermon today. I do love our country. I love the freedoms that we have that have been provided to us by literal blood, sweat, and tears. And I've preached patriotic sermons in the past, and I've spoken very carefully on political topics from time to time, but not today. Today's a little bit different. Today's a freedom of sorts. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 states that God loves a cheerful giver. This verse, when I did a search, because I typically will do searches on things to see when I've talked about it last and what context it was in, so I overlap a little bit, but not too much, so that, you know, and if I have to do a search on my computer to find out when the last time I spoke about something, pretty sure you guys aren't going to remember too awful much. But when I did that, I pulled up and I realized, oh my goodness, this verse, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it's found itself into almost every year the past, 11, 12 years. It found itself, and just once a year, but it found itself once in 2009. And funny, I started here in 2005, and I don't think this verse, it was like maybe once before then. But in 2009, I guess something happened with this verse in my heart, because I shared it in 2009 in a sermon. 2010, I skipped 2011, so you guys had 2011 off. 2012, 2013, 2014, skipped 2015, 2016. Once again, not a whole sermon about this verse, but it just found its way in sometime or another once during the year, 2016, 17, 18, 19, and last year. So I guess I've grown to like this verse. It's become a verse that's close to my heart. And I didn't realize I had mentioned it as often as I have. But it makes sense that it would be a favorite verse of mine, because it's a quality that God says that he loves in his people. It's not just something he likes or enjoys or finds pleasure in. It is something he very specifically says that he loves. And I think that's what's really connected to me as I've grown and in my relationship with God, when I see something like that. And it's not something where our English texts have added the word love or taken. No, the word love is right there in the Greek. It is there. God loves a cheerful giver. It's right there. There's no translation issues there. That is exactly what it says. And so when I read something like that, I think for me, as I've grown and I see something like that, I'm like, well, God loves this. Then it elevates it in my priority list. That if this is something God loves, then that's something that should be important to me. And if it's something that I see it's important, I want to bring to you guys, because I love you guys and you're my family. And I want to inspire us all to do things that God loves to see us do. In our Bibles, we are told of some things that God specifically loves. He loves his son. He loves his people. He loves righteousness and the righteous. He loves justice and the just. And he loves a cheerful giver. Those are a few of the things that are mentioned very specifically that God loves. So why does God love a cheerful giver? Well, God loves a cheerful giver because a generous person typically isn't a greedy person. And that's kind of where we lean a little bit to the freedom side of things. Not so much the freedom of our country, but greed can really get a hold of you. And we experience freedom from greed through generosity. I've called generosity the anti-greed a number of times. That's my understanding of generosity. Generosity is the opposing force to the sin of greed. And greed is a pandemic of mankind that's been along a long time longer than COVID. And it is far worse. It is far more widespread, far more contagious. And a face diaper does nothing to protect you against the spread of greed. It's been around for years and years and years and years, and it destroys people. But an attitude of generosity, as opposed to the face masks, an attitude of generosity does do a lot to combat against greed. generosity. It reveals the heart of someone who's focused on loving others. I think that's another reason why God loves a cheerful giver, because Jesus said he wants us to love others. Just like Chuck was talking about earlier, that all of the law and all the prophets can be brought together and understood under the premise of love God and love others. And generosity shows the heart of someone who loves others. A cheerful giver understands that God is the source of everything they own. That they typically understand that they are entrusted to be stewards of what ultimately belongs to God anyway. That they don't just have 10% that belongs to God. It's not just a tithe that belongs to God. But typically a cheerful giver understands that all of it belongs to God. That everything we have, all of our money, all of our finances, all of our assets, everything that we own, it belongs to God anyway. And I'm just going to be a good steward of that. And that's typically something a cheerful giver understands. I think that's why God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is connected to the very heart of God. I think that God loves a cheerful giver because they get it. They get God. And God wants to be gotten by us. They see that God is a generous God, and they find joy in imitating God. It is a reflection of his own heart inside of us. When we behave according to the image of God within us, and the image of Christ that we're being made into as his children, as opposed to living in accordance with the influence of the world around us, that gives God pleasure. God loves to see that. When we're a cheerful giver, we're imitating the very core of the love that the Father has for us. God is the ultimate cheerful giver, is he not? When we give cheerfully, we are imitating God's most fundamental form of love. And that's why this verse finds itself into 2021 once again, because it just fits perfectly in with this understanding of God mode, this understanding that we want to imitate God, we want to follow his example, and in doing so, we will experience more of God in our lives, we'll experience more of God, and all of us could use just a little more God in our lives. That's the series that this second series kind of piggybacked off of. When we're cheerful giver, we are acting like God. And our God is a generous God. And when we imitate God, when we activate God mode, we imitate God, we take on these God-like characteristics in our life, then we will experience more God in our life. The passage where we find this verse about how God loves a cheerful giver is side by side with the understanding that God is a generous God. Let's go and get some context for this verse. We'll start in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, there's a lot of alls in that statement, isn't it? Let me go back and read that again. And God is able, amen? I mean, just right there. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's kind of another all right there. Every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So in a passage about our generosity, we're reminded that it is a quality of God. That's where it started. That's where it originated from. It was God's quality first. It is God who blesses us abundantly so that we will have all that we need in every time, in every situation, in all things. And then we have extra, and the extra is given so that we can be generous with it. Let's not miss the beginning of this chain. Let's write this down. We can be generous because God was first generous with us. We can be generous because God was first generous with us. Don't miss the beginning of the chain. That's how we have the ability to be generous. It's because God has already been generous with us. God has been generous with us first. Trying to get comfy. I get it. We can be generous because God was first generous with us. Our extra is not meant for us. Our extra was meant for us to be generous with. So let's write this down. Our extra is so that we can engage God mode and imitate God, the ultimate giver. Our extra is so that we can engage God mode and imitate God, the ultimate giver. You know, oftentimes when we get extra, we think, what can I spend this on? What can I use this on? What I can finally do some extra things around the house I've been wanting to do. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to fish it, you know, reel you in or whatever. I'm there too. And we're kind of wired that way. I can finally buy that expensive outfit that I've been wanting. Ladies, right? Guys, I can finally get that new power tool I've had my eyes on. Right? You know, I can finally, you know, I'm sure you can fill in the blank for yourself, can't you? I can finally do this. I can finally get this. I can finally, you know, and those aren't always bad endeavors. There's, you know, we're doing some home improvement. We've been doing some home improvements, and there's nothing bad with improving that and taking some of the money that God has blessed us with and using that. But I believe we need to be careful of the subtlety of how much greed has really gotten a hold of our lives, because naturally our first thought goes there first. And I think that's something we should take note of and go, wait a minute, this isn't as godlike as I'd like to be. Maybe my second or third thought should go towards something like that. But oftentimes our first thought, our natural thought is, well, I got more, I got extra, I got a bonus, I got something. What can I use this on? What can I spend this on? How can I use this for what? Me? Wouldn't it be a really wonderful transition for us to be able to see that our natural movement, our natural thought when we get extra would be, I wonder who needs this, or where could I use this to help this person, or what ministry has been on my heart that now that I've got this, I can do something to support this or give to this particular ministry or whatever. What if that were our natural process? Wouldn't that? You know, as people that are growing closer to God, I believe that's where we should be moving and gravitating to. And I think it's a telltale sign of how active and how subtle greed is in our lives that typically when we get more, our first thought is me. And even if they're not bad endeavors, it's still just that initial thought of more is for me. And I don't believe that's where we should be as Christians. I think as we grow closer to God, that our hearts should become more and more and more generous, that when we get more, God's taking care of everything I need. Because if you have more, that means everything's been taken care of, right? Because it's more, it's extra. And we should, when we get more, we should go back and look at the beginning of this passage we just read and say, well, golly, God provided all of my needs for all the time that I needed, for everything I needed right now, I'm covered. Bills are paid, everything's caught up, food's in the refrigerator. Now I've got more. That's more for someone else. That's more for the kingdom. That's more to be able to do. Just and once we process through that, it might be something where we say, well, God gave me this extra because I've been wanting to do some extra things. Or, you know, it's not wrong to spend it with on the extra outfit or some more power tools, whatnot. But if our initial move is to let me think of what more can be for, how can I be generous with this? I think that would be super, super, super healthy for us as God's people, and to be able to move in that direction. I mean, think about how generous our God is. Let me share some passages with you here, just a kind of a rapid fire. A little bit of an AR. AR of scripture verses here. Romans 8, 31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son? That's generosity. I mean, that's the ultimate generosity. Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I mean, that's the highest level of generosity is displayed in giving his own son, his one and only son. He gave him up for all of us, for all of mankind. Those who accept his offer of forgiveness, as well as those who will reject his offer of forgiveness. He still offered his son. God loved mankind so much that he gave his one and only son to die for us. That's generous. And Paul says, if God was willing to go to this level, there's no level of generosity God's not willing to go to for us. Won't he graciously give us all things if he's done this? Everything else is underneath that. God offers salvation generously to those who will respond to his offer for forgiveness. Titus 3:5 says he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, what? Generously. Not just a little. Not just a little Holy Spirit. Not just a little sanctification. What? No, fire hose Holy Spirit just poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God offers his grace and all that comes with it generously to those who respond to his offer for forgiveness. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. A very descriptive word there. It's grace in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And we just talked about part of this last week when we talked about the grace-given gifts, the charisma, the charismatic gifts, the gifts of grace that we have been given, that God lavished on us through his grace. He gave us these gifts, and that's just one part of the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our God is a generous God, no doubt. God has freely, generously given to us. He's even been generous with his wisdom, with his guidance, with his advice. James captures this in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who what? Gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So what can we be generous of as we look at this example of God and we want more of God, we want to engage God mode, we want to imitate God mode, then just based on these verses we looked at, verses that spell out very clearly God's generosity. How can we imitate God? How can we imitate his generosity in our life? Of course, the obvious one is wealth with our material possessions, with our finances. But what are some other things that we can be generous with? Time, yes. Time. God is generous with his grace. We talked about that last week. How we should be filled with grace and forgiveness. It's far easier to be generous with our finances and our material possessions than it is to be generous with our grace. But if we're generous with our grace, wouldn't that be imitating God's generosity? That would be engaging God mode. God generously poured his love into us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. So how can we imitate God here? And this goes hand in hand with what Jim jumped a couple paragraphs ahead Can someone quote, without looking at our bulletin, can someone quote our mission statement? Look at that from the youth. They got you. Boom, you guys. Next time. Okay, 1-0 is where you guys are. Okay. They just came off a CIY. They're pumped. They're, yes, growing in God, investing in people. God poured his Holy Spirit into us. God poured into us his presence. Isn't that what he did? Very physically, poured it into us. So jumping to what Jim said, giving of our time. How can we imitate God pouring his Holy Spirit into us? Well, we pour ourselves into other people's lives. And that's time. That's being generous with our time, giving our time, pouring ourselves in, investing into other people. We're present, just like his Holy Spirit is present inside of us. We share not only our time with them, we share our emotions. We invest into them. James even spelled out that God shares his wisdom with us generously. So we could add that to the list, couldn't we? To be willing to be generous with our wisdom, to share our advice as we invest into others. Sometimes not just jumping straight to advice, but you share your experiences with others and the wisdom you've gained from those experiences. Those are priceless. And when we look at generosity, money, finances, that's the easiest thing to be generous with. We have so much more than just finances and material resources that we can be generous with. So write this down. We are inspired by God's generosity because he provides both the material and the example. God provides both the material and the example. We just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that God blesses us abundantly. He doesn't just provide us with the material. He doesn't just provide us, rather, with the material to be generous with. He provides us with the example to be generous with. He's given to us abundantly. That's not just the material, that's the example. Sometimes we just look at the material of that. When we look, it's both, isn't it? His action of giving us abundantly is the example to follow. We just read in that same passage that God will enlarge our harvest so that we can be generous. That's the purpose of enlarging our harvest, so that we can be generous. We can't miss this connection. Paul spells it out plainly for us. God supplies us with the material, and in the very act of supplying the material, God provides the example the same time. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." That's what we do. As we've received a righteousness that's apart from the law, our righteousness has been given to us through grace. Our righteousness is through Christ, according to Romans chapter 3. It says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." So we freely received the righteousness apart from the law. And as righteous people, according to Psalm 37, yes, 37, the righteous give generously. So if we are the righteous, we should act like righteous people, and we should be giving generously. We see more of God's generosity in the text that we just read, that our righteousness came by grace through faith in Jesus that was given to us freely. God provides both the material and the example. We also read this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Says, command those who are rich in this present world. And we've talked about that before. We are rich. Even if you're the poorest person in America, you are rich. We live in a rich country. You compare us to the rest of the world. You compare us across. You can compare us this way across the rest of the world. You can compare us this way across all the span of time. We're rich, either way you look at it. And so these passages where the rich are mentioned in the Bible, it's not something where we look at it and we say, oh, that's talking about this guy that lives in the other part of my neighborhood. I always have to specify our neighborhood because there's a part of our neighborhood that's kind of a ritzy part of our neighborhood. So whenever I tell people where I live, I'm like, I'm in this section. Because I don't want them to think I'm living in the rich section, you know. Because I'm a little paranoid of that. But we look, we do that, don't we? We look at other people and say, well, they're rich because they live here. Or they're rich because they have this kind of house or this kind of car or this kind of job or whatever it may be. But really, when we read these passages that talk about the rich, it's not talking about the other guy. It's talking about all of us because we're all rich here in America. We have cars. We have houses for our cars. We're rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, it's for our enjoyment, but look at what he talks about the very next statement here. Command them who... them to do good and be rich in good deeds and to be what? Generous. How can we enjoy what we've been given? Well, one way we can enjoy it is to be generous with it. He's given us all these things so we can enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God has blessed us with. I enjoy the things that God has blessed me with. But a part of enjoying the things that God has blessed us with is to enjoy the generosity that can be used when you do have an abundance, when you do have more, when you are the rich. Command them to do good, to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So we're commanded to do good deeds, to be generous and willing to share, and this is enjoyable. There is joy found in generosity. In this passage, Paul tells Timothy that the rich... the rich are to richly provide, to richly do good deeds, that the rich has been given all that they've been given, and they should enjoy them. They should enjoy everything that God's given to us. And one very important way for us to enjoy is to be generous. And I think we've been there before. We've had at least those little glimpses, right? Where you've done something, and you've been generous, and you've seen the impact that that's made, either on a ministry, on an individual, something that you've blessed someone because you've had an abundance, and man, that feels good, doesn't it? It does. But then we forget how good that feels, and we think about all the other ways we can enjoy our finances and our money and our resources, all sorts of resources, like we mentioned earlier. Our time, our experiences, our emotions, our wisdom, our all those other things. And we need to be reminded from time to time of how much enjoyment is found in being generous. You know why I think that's enjoyable? Because it's those moments that we are imitating God. Right? It's those moments that we feel more like God. We connect more with who God is. Because we get a chance to see how he feels when he is generous to us. He must enjoy that because we enjoy it. And we connect with God, and that's priceless. to be able to connect with God more and more and more, and to be able to get God more. And I believe that's why we have enjoyment when we're generous. We feel, and we're like, man, I felt good. I feel more like God. I feel more like the righteous person that he's saved me to be. I feel more like the sanctified person that his Holy Spirit's working in me to help me to become. I feel more like that. I think that's a big reason why it feels so good. Yes, we enjoy seeing what happens on the other side, but I think internally, we connect more with who we're supposed to be. That the righteous will give generously. We feel like we've connected more with the righteousness of Christ that's been given to us, a righteousness apart from the law. We've connected with God's grace and God's generosity through his grace, and we've connected through that as we have shown generosity and given freely to others, and that's an enjoyable thing. That's an enjoyable feeling. God mode. So let's write this down. One of the most enjoyable things we can do with our wealth is to share and be generous with it. And I would say, as I just read that, I thought, you know what, that's pretty narrow. You guys can cross out wealth and you can write resources. That note was coming straight out of the scripture, 1 Timothy 6. So that's where that note was coming from, but when I'm thinking about it in full context, we're really talking about resources, not just wealth. Resources. We can be generous because God was first generous with us. Our extra is so that we can engage God mode, so we can throttle up and imitate God, the ultimate giver. We are inspired by God's generosity because he provides both the material and the example at the very same time. One of the most enjoyable things we can do with our wealth, with our resources, is to share and be generous with them. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for all the different topics that you share with us through your word. Father, this topic here of generosity, we see greed all around us. We see how greed enslaves, how greed causes harm, how greed destroys. Father, I pray that you would help us to combat greed with generosity, that we would chase after the generosity that you have given to us through your example and through your provision, whether it's material provision, the provision of your grace, your wisdom, your Holy Spirit living inside of us, all of these things you've generously given to us. Father, we understand that you love a cheerful giver. Today, we've just kind of explored a little bit why. Because a cheerful giver is connected to your heart. Help us all to connect more with you, Father, in many subjects, but this one specifically today, as we talk about engaging God mode. Help us to be more generous. Help us to, when we see more in our life, that we see it with the heart that you would have, that you would have us to have, that the righteous, we who have been called to be your righteous, that we would operate with a heart that thinks generously. That would be our first natural response because we've connected with you. Thank you so much for the generosity that you gave to us through your son Jesus. The ultimate gift. The ultimate act of generosity. We thank you and we pray in his name. Amen.